Well, I guess as expected, this had to happen, sort of a thing. You'd mentioned to me about a month ago that you had to make a payment down on the old Visa card, and you've done it now today, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not fun to trade a guy like Lazowski. It's the first time I think I've ever traded a five-year guy that's we drafted, and I still remember FaceTiming him from his high school, junior high, the day we drafted him, telling him I thought we were going to get him, and now he's a turning 21 soon. He's a grown man, and a lot of stuff has happened since then. So, he's been a part of five great teams with us and a big part of those. And obviously he's etched his place in Blades history as one of the top goal scorers ever here. But ultimately, my job is to look after the future present of this club. And I always promised to the fans that we would never have to go through what they did when we first got the team, which was 5 years of just pain and losing. And now we've gotten to a place where the club's been outstanding on the ice for the last 7 years, and we've had awesome fan support, and I just wouldn't jeopardize that for anything. So it's tough to do, but at the same vein, I think it works for Brandon really well, and it works for us. So it's necessary, but we wouldn't have done this deal if we hadn't have been able to get a guy that had 56 points last year in Tanner Scott. I mean, Lizzo had 80 points last year on a very elite line with two of the best players in Blades history, with Wonger and Sido, and Scott got 56 points with, I would say lesser line mates than that. And he's had some injuries this year, so his numbers aren't where I think they'll be in the second half, but we weren't going to trade him just for draft picks and have an empty 20 spot or something like that. Our message to our players is that we expect to win every night. So that doesn't change, and Tanner's going to come bring different elements than Brandon did, and we get two second-round picks that are absolutely critical to us to be successful.
Yeah, I think you need to explain just how critical those second-round picks are.
Yeah, well, if you look at our second-round picks right now, I mean, we've got the dynamic duo out there as 16-year-olds of Cooper Williams and Zach Olsen that have been kind of turning heads every night and getting goals every night, and those are two second-round picks. Riley Budd's a defenseman we took in the second round that year as well. We had 3 seconds, and he's a very bright goaltending prospect for us. Nolan Meyer broke the all-time wins record in this league, second-round pick. So, would it be sexier to say, oh, we got a first-round pick? Yeah, but I had also weigh, like, is the 21st pick in the first round better than 2 second-round picks? And we believe, like, right now, the second-rounder we got this year in this deal belongs to right now either Regina or Kelowna, whoever finishes lower with those two. So right now that stands as like a top 25 pick in this year's draft. So that's hugely important to us. We don't have any draft picks before this deal until the 4th round this year, and we don't have any draft picks in the year after that till the 8th round before today. And like, that's not sustainable long term. You can't, like you said, you can't max the credit card of picks going for it every year. We've been on most every player for 7 years that comes available. At some point you have to pay off the credit card. This doesn't pay it off near completely, but it's a good step to 2 really valuable picks.
So the people who don't understand why you're doing this, yep, are saying, hey, you're in first place. Why do you do this? You've got a great team. You could go for it again this year. It's just not feasible. I mean, was there at any point a thought that you might think of saying, okay, we're going to go for it one more time?
No. And I didn't think we'd be in first place either. This is obviously a bizarre situation to be trading off an all-time great Blade while you're in first. I get it. It's weird. It's not fun. I did not want to do this. But we also look at the player as well. Like, I was really honest with Brandon. He was really honest with us in the summer. He had no interest in coming back to a rebuilding team that where he wasn't going to be a player that was going to have good line mates and produce. He was like, I need to get 100 points to get an NHL contract. And looking at our team on paper, he wasn't sure that in the summer that this was the team that he could get that done with, because you need good line mates to produce. So what we agreed with Brandon is, give us a chance. Let's see where we're at, and then we'll sit down in November, December together and talk about what the second half might look like here or elsewhere. If we're in dead last, obviously we'll move you to a contender. If we're in the middle of the pack, then we'll talk. And when we talked over the break about what assets we had to move and what assets we could get to bring in help, which was none, we don't have any future assets to trade to get help, I think it became obvious there that, like, Brandon was very open to this because he wants to go to a team that is putting all their chips in the middle, and we don't have that ability. So it works for both sides. So it's not easy or fun, and I don't get the casual fan to understand it, but I think the easiest way to explain it is everyone's an NHL fan. Like, you can have a few bad drafts in the NHL and it doesn't really affect you that much because you have 25 years worth of players. You got a Bedard who's 19 and you've got a guy that's 40 on the same team, or 37 or whatever the oldest players are in the league. We have 5 years of players to work with. So if you have two bad drafts in a row where you don't pick high and you don't pick till the fourth or fifth round, even if you do well with those picks relative to your peers who are picking, like Prince Albert's picking first and second in every draft the last few years, or in the top five, like, you can't have a sustainable team because at some point those two birth years are half of your roster. Like, that's not, it's not like the NHL where you go to free agency and say, okay, we signed McDavid for 8 years, now we're our first line set for 8 years. Oh, we signed a goalie for 8 years, we're a goaltending set. Like, our team turns over all the time because the players graduate and we don't have free agency. So you have to do deals like this because, you know, you can't put yourself in a position to be really bad for 2-3 years, or it just kills the market, kills your, all the stuff we've built with this team and the fan support and the love we've got from the fans and what we've been able to produce for them. We want to sustain that long term. So that's why deals like this are really hard to make, and I'm sure people are going to ask about what's next, and that's, it's painful too. But our players have earned the right for us to stay competitive. This is not a fire sale. This is not like, hey, anyone who's not coming back next year, any rental age player, or so to speak, or any 20-year-old or anyone who's not back is gone and the highest bidder gets them. Like, anyone who wants any of our rental players have to give us high picks and good young players. So the 20-year-old market is different than the other market because every team has good 20s. That's good usually. So you're getting a 20 back and picks. So that's kind of our mindset going into the next week.
What will be Brandon's enduring legacy and impact on this market? It's coming in as a top 10 draft pick and leaving as the fifth all-time goal scorer for the franchise.
Goals. He scores goals. Unbelievable goal scorer. Flair for big goals. He's a guy that, because he's 5'8", he didn't get the kind of NHL love that I think he deserved. I'm very proud of how he evolved his game. I think he was fairly one-dimensional when he first got here. Go down the ice, down the wing, and score. And, you know, through Mitch Love, then Brennan, and obviously Dan this year, he's really evolved into a guy that backchecks harder than almost anybody. And that was not there in his game 2-3 years ago. Maybe 17, 18, it started to come, and Brennan really got the best out of him, and obviously Dan has gotten a lot out of him here. So that's his legacy, and a great person. He's not a vocal guy. He's not a huge leader in the room with what he says, but he's a pro in all respects, and that's his legacy to me. And once a Blade, always a Blade. So, you know, he's a fantastic player that got a ton out of the 5'8" frame that, you know, put up 140 or something goals with us. That's pretty awesome.
Obviously, you know, there's a week until the trade deadline. Still a lot of things that are going to have to fall into place.